This is an MSO News Sports special report, The North Shore Addressing the Opioid Issue. In this program, we will talk with four doctors from Lynn Community Health. They will share their insight, interventions, and approach to opioid addiction. Our four panelists include Dr. Kiami Mahania, the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Kelly Holland, Dr. Mark Alexikos, and Dr. Kimberly Roberts-Schulteis. We begin with Dr. Mahania.
So my name is Kiami Mahania. I'm the Chief Medical Officer at the Lynn Community Health Center. I'm a family physician by training, not an addiction psychiatrist. And the reason that I got into this world is that addicts, especially opioid addicts, are essentially untreated in terms of the medical landscape. It's very difficult for addicts to find any kind of healthcare facility where they can be treated. And if you add the aspect of the aspect of lack of insurance to the mix, or inability to speak English, or serious mental illness, or lack of resources, suddenly it looks like a community health center is really ideally placed to provide this kind of care. So the way I look at my job is essentially being able to bring resources to people like Dr. Roberts-Schulteis, who are actually doing the work, and Dr. Kelly Holland, who are actually doing the work. My job is simply to be able to provide the infrastructure and the resources and the political support so that treatment can happen.
All right, I'm going to switch over to Dr. Holland. Kelly Holland is here with us as well, and we can follow up on some of these different things a little bit later on for sure. But Kelly, tell us about your role in all of this.
Sure. I am also a family physician, and I, because of that, take care of children, parents, grandparents, and it has become very clear that these substance use disorders affect every generation, affect everyone in the family when somebody is struggling. And as a primary care, I'm fortunate to have clinicians like Dr. Roberts-Schulteis who have the complex addictions teams. But in order to get somebody treatment, we have to know that they need treatment. And unfortunately, substance use disorders have some of the highest rates of stigma associated with it. And that, coupled with the lack of comfort in many medical providers to talk about substance use, makes it something that can be under the surface as I am trying to manage diabetes or talk about quitting smoking. The elephant in the room is a possible substance use disorder that is just being ignored. So what we try to do in primary care is to implement universal screening, because a risk-based screening is essentially asking someone who you think is an addict, which by definition is going to fail. So we screened everybody, and what we found is not only we're uncovering a lot of people who are struggling with this chronic disease that we never knew about before, folks we had been seeing for years, but also when we ask every patient, we will hear them say, well, I don't use heroin, but I have a grandson who does, and I would like to know more about this. And another important thing that we have done is when a grandparent, a parent, a brother or friend identifies a loved one with a opioid use disorder, we send them home with in their hand an overdose reversal drug that and train them how to use it so we can begin to incorporate the family in what is an illness that affects the whole family.
And Dr. Holland, just to follow up, just for our listeners, is that you're seeing patients, you're not just involved with the opioid problem initially, I mean, but it's obviously related, but you're seeing patients because you're the primary care physician.
Correct. Yeah. As a primary care physician, my youngest patient right now is 28 days old, and my oldest is 98. So it is the management of chronic conditions and well preventative care that I do, and this is should be right in the realm of a chronic condition that that needs to be addressed.
I'm going to shift to Dr. Kimberly Roberts-Schulteis. And doctor. You're involved with just the addiction. Does that sound right? And tell us what you have set up here at the Lynn Community Health.
So I am an addiction psychiatrist, board certified in addiction psychiatry, and I lead a team of providers, multidisciplinary team that consists of nurses, therapists, both master's and PhD level, primary care docs, and other psychiatrists that treat the highest risk patients here at the health center who struggle with addiction. This is set up primarily because we see patients that have been lost to follow-up in the general pool of patients here where they wouldn't necessarily follow through with seeing a therapist or getting routine labs done, start relapsing, and then no one really knows what happened to them. And we recognize that we need to have a team-based approach with individuals who really understood addiction to kind of wrap around these patients and make sure they follow through with their medical care, got the mental health needs met in terms of medicines, therapies, as well as just outreach to the community in terms of methadone clinics they might be enrolled in or halfway houses to try to get a sense of how we can best help them.
Maybe you could just elaborate more in a brief way, in the sense that I know you can't cover it all, but you know, not don't be brief yourself. But you know, what's up? What is? What, give me more specifics on this team and you know their kind of and the numbers on this team.
So right now we are currently developing five different programs or so to treat addiction. So we have obviously buprenorphine, which is a medicine to treat people who have opiate disorders. We have about 350 patients right now on buprenorphine, which is Suboxone. We are currently also offering Subutex, which is a medicine for individuals who are pregnant that have opiate use disorders, and we get referrals from different entities, detoxes and other places like that. Women are pregnant and they don't have a place to go and to get treatment for that. We offer Vivitrol. Vivitrol is an injection that's for alcohol use disorders and opiate use disorders. That's up and going. And we have referrals now from jails, Middlesex County jails referring to us, as well as some affiliations with Drug Court here in Lynn to try to get people to Vivitrol before they can relapse into the correctional system there. We also have communications with methadone programs as well to try to make sure these individuals are getting appropriate medicines, as well as communicating around high-risk behaviors, whether or not they look sedated or are actively using, to try to make sure everyone between these individuals knows what's going on.
Well, we've got Mark Alexikos with us here. So, Mark, tell us about your role in all of this with Lynn Community Health.
Great. I'm the Chief Behavioral Health Officer, and I'm the Senior Manager responsible for helping the organization integrate primary care, behavioral health, and nursing. And really what's wonderful about what you've heard is we have teams which I call kind of mom-and-pop grocery stores. So Kelly works on one of our primary care teams, and basically patients can come in and they can get everything one-stop shopping. So they can get their behavioral health treatment, they can get their substance use disorder treatment, they can get their primary care. Kim Roberts works on our complex addiction home team, and basically somebody with a substance use disorder can get their mental health treated, they can get their addiction treated, they can get taken care of for their primary care needs. And really it's been a public health crisis, access to both addictions and behavioral health treatment. And that's why I'm here at the health center. That's my goal, to open up access. So that's what I do.
I'm going to let somebody else, anybody here want to sound in and elaborate on anything that we've talked about so far? And that would include you, Mark, maybe on anything that you've heard so far. What else would you add to this picture we're painting about Lynn Community Health?
Well, really, we're trying to be at the forefront of opening up access for our patients to be able to meet their need. And like I said, it's been a long time, probably a public health crisis for 30 years, but just the rate of opiate deaths have really brought it to the forefront. And we're not there 100% yet, but our goal is to identify anybody who has an addiction issue, engage them, and treat them in real time.
Dr. Mahamia?
And I think that one thing that is remarkable about the stigma around opiate addiction is when Mark mentions that we're treating an opiate addict, these are people who have families, they're married, many times they have employment, and so the addiction is something that really destroys who they are. It really takes over their mind, it takes over their body, and so we see people who've lost touch with their kids, they've lost touch with their parents, they've robbed their parents, and addiction treatment actually allows people to reestablish who they are as a person. It's giving people essentially their soul and their personhood back. And one thing that's magical about addiction treatment is that, and the reason why Kelly and Kim and I are so passionate about what we do, is that it's incredibly empowering to encounter somebody who essentially has nothing in their life, and we are giving them back to their family, we're giving them back to their wife, we're giving back to their husband, and kids are getting their parents back. And that's really, at the baseline, that's what's pushing us.
Let me follow up with a question to you. So here we've got this whole team together here. You're pushing forward. Think about it as a train. You're going from station to station. You clearly are making progress here. You're making a difference. But, you know, tell me, how long has this been going on? Is this recent? You know, obviously people are paying attention to this a lot more now, but you mentioned the stigma. You know, how new is what you are doing, been in existence, so to speak?
The medication, the different types of medication that we're using other than the Vivitrol, which is fairly recent, methadone has been around for over two generations, and Suboxone has been available in the U.S. since the late 90s, early 2000s. So it's been around for some time. I think what we don't really understand the background to it is that the number of users in the U.S. has exploded over the past 10 years. And a remarkable growth has occurred in white population, in women, and in people who make over $50,000 a year. So that's sort of, if you wanted to look at it as a new thing, that's something that's more recent. So I'd say in the past 5 or 6 years, that's where the explosion of use has happened. And I think because of that explosion, suddenly every community in America realizes they're being affected. And in that sense, it's new. But the work that we've been doing, you know, Kim has been involved in this work for forever. It's only that we sort of feel it's almost as if we were part of this small cult, and then suddenly we're pushed to the forefront of the news. But really, we've been doing this work for the last 10, 15 years of our professional careers. It's just that the front page has caught up with the work that we do.
Let me say, are you guys doing more? This is where I was kind of going at too. Are you doing a lot more work now than you were before? That's where that, you know, in other words, some of the things I understand are still the same, but with Kim, but with the work that you're doing here, it seems to me maybe you're doing a lot more work.
I think, you know, I started at the health center about 6 years ago, and we've at that time we were a small program Suboxone prescriber of like one nurse, one psychiatrist, me, and then one primary care doc. That's all we had. And about trying to get to 100 patients, but slowly getting there, not really there yet. And then now 6 years later, we have a really great thriving program with 5 or 6 programs that we're offering for people that struggle with addiction. She talked about the Subutex, the Suboxone, the Vivitrol, the drug court collaborations.
Yeah, I got you. Dr. Holland, you wanted to chime in here maybe?
Sure. And I think another reason, as medical and behavioral health clinicians, we like to do things. We like to intervene. And as Dr. Robert Schultheis has grown the program here, and Dr. Lexkos has gotten us to have more behavioral health staff embedded into the services, there's nothing more frustrating for a provider to screen for a condition or have a patient ask me for help, and now I realize, okay, you have this condition, but I have nowhere to send you. It would be as if a patient comes in with diabetes and we say, hey, you've got diabetes, but we don't make insulin in this part of the state, so you're going to have to go someplace else. And so to have this opportunity that we screen, we find this condition, and then there are people right on our team. We have Kim across the street. So I can tell them, not only do I want to know this condition so I can work with you on it, but also I have someplace where you can go that knows who you are, that knows who I am, and we can begin to treat this together.
That is Dr. Kelly Holland. Other guests include Dr. Kimberly Roberts Schultheis, Dr. Mark Alexikos, and Dr. Kiami Mahania, the Chief Medical Officer for Lynn Community Health. Again, this is a special report, part one of a series on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell.